be nice, wouldn't it? Power team, can you believe it's just going to be a couple weeks and they're going to be here? Now, we've gotten calls back. We're now up to 8 schools, if I've done my math right, that we're going to be going to. So this is a great thing to be thankful for, yes. There was a little bit of question about a couple schools, but I believe we're on the right track now. So we're going to be getting them into the schools. It sounds like they're going to be on Paula Sands' live show. Has anyone seen them on TV or heard them on the radio yet? They're going on specific shows, wrestling, WWE, and all those shows. We figure people that watch them, we want to target them. So we're getting the videos out there, the TV commercials, and we still need to ask that you get involved, because this is a big event to be able to pull off. We're hoping for a great harvest from this. So invite your friends, invite your enemies even, okay? You know, that's all right to do. Maybe something good will happen because of that. But we want to remind you that August 31st is going to be our Power Saturday. That's the Saturday where we're going to kind of saturate the community, go put door hangers around, and we'd like for you to get involved in that. So if you can sign up for that, we're going to plan that out and just kind of saturate the community, getting the word out about the Power Team. And we still need some help with some of the teams, specifically maybe some cooks if you're here and you wouldn't mind cooking up a crock pot of something. Go to the information center. Let them know you're willing to cook, and they will get in touch with Anita Abbott. Or if you know Anita Abbott, feel free to approach her. Material team, we still need some more guys to get involved in that, because we just see this kind of growing and growing, picking up some momentum. So let's get involved in that. You know, one of the things that, before I get into the message too, I just want to bring to your attention is, if you just keep in your prayers, Sue Passman and Dale Williams, it was just brought to my attention that their brother passed away this morning. And so if you can just remember them in prayer as they walk through this time. And we're praying with Greg as well, Hagee, the family, as his mom had passed away. So just remember them in your prayers as we go throughout our day, okay? Well, turn in your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 14. You know, if you're a guest here today, we'd love to get a chance to meet you in that. There's a connection card in the pew there. Please fill that out, and you can take it to the information center. You can give it to one of the ushers, and we'd love a chance just to connect with you to get some information your way. And if you'll notice on our website, if you've checked it out, clintonopendoor.com, it's become more of an active tool that we're using with Twitter and Facebook and website to communicate anything we find out about Power Team events. Any events, prayer requests, if you want to get connected in the church somehow, we got a get connected icon. Check it out. A lot of photos, a lot of pictures there for you to see as well. So use that as a great opportunity. Now, in Numbers chapter 14, there's a story there, and what we're going to read about has to do with some spies who were sent into a land. Last week, I told you that we talked about hope. And really, last week, this week, and next week weren't really a series that I had planned necessarily, but I got looking at a few things about hope. What do you do when you feel helpless? What do you do when the outcome is glim or bleak? And what is it that you do? You have to have hope. There's always hope. And I thought that's something that we have to cling to. This week I want to talk to you about attitude. Next week will be order. Because as I looked at those, I thought, those three things seem very little in and of themselves, but they really make a big deal. They really make a big difference, I guess is the best way to say it. So we're looking at little things that make a big difference in our life. And I tell you what, hope may sound like a small little word, but isn't it so enormous in your life? Isn't it great to know that you always have a hope? Isn't it great to know that you can never get too far away from God and there's always hope that you can come back to Him? Isn't it great to know that you can totally mess up and there's always going to be the presence of hope found in His Holy Spirit? The report the doctor gave you can seem absolutely bleak, but there's always hope because He's the great physician. Hope is a great thing. It seems little, but it makes a big difference in our lives. And this week I want to talk to you about attitudes, because all of us have them. Did you know that, by the way? Yeah? The rest of you are just denying it? Yeah, we all have attitudes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, when I grew up, that's how I lived life. I always had this attitude that I wore on my shoulder because I didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't know where I wanted to go. I didn't know who I wanted to be. So I had to kind of get my own persona, do my own thing. And I was trying to be something I really wasn't because I didn't know what I wanted to be. Did you follow that logic? Did you really? Because it confused the heck out of me for like 8 years. Attitude was one of the things that I thought I can embrace, and I can get this my prerogative attitude. It's all about me. It's everything evolves around me. Even though I didn't really want it to, or I wanted it to, but I didn't have it figured out, I just would kind of fake it. And there's something that we see about attitudes. They're not all bad, necessarily. But we've got to understand that if our attitude is found being tied to the world, we're going to be back in that hopeless situation. Have you ever found that when you put your hope in Christ, He never lets you down, but when you tie everything that you hope in to the world, it always seems to fail you somehow, some way? You know, there's a banker. He was driving down the road one day, and his car kind of went out of control, and he was headed for a cliff, so at the last moment, he opened up the door, and he jumped out as a last-ditch effort, but he got his arm caught in the door. And the car went over the cliff and took his arm with him. And this guy driving a semi-rig saw the whole thing, and he pulled over, and he says, "Man, are you okay?" And the guy's looking over the edge, and he goes, my car is trash." He said, "Man, you got bigger problems than that." He said, "When the car went down, it took your arm." And the guy looked down and went, my Rolex. You know, too many times, if you attach value to just things of this world, you're going to miss the fact that you're bleeding to death spiritually. You're going to miss that you're not focused on the right thing, and then you'll wonder why life is so difficult. And so we have to learn to embrace a proper understanding about attitudes. Now, I'm not just talking, when I say attitudes, usually what we do is this, you know, "I want to talk to you this morning about attitudes," and we're all like, "Yeah, I know some people that have some attitudes. I know some people that need an attitude adjustment. I know some people," but that's not what I'm necessarily talking about. Is that part of it? Yeah. But the reality is we have to look in a mirror and look at ourselves and start saying, what is the attitude that I am to have? You know, the Bible says that we are to have the same attitude in us that is found in Christ Jesus. Do you remember this? Philippians. It tells us to have the same attitude that was found in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to have this in our lives. Now, here in Numbers, we see this played out. Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 is where I'm going to start reading from. But what happened was this. Some spies were sent out into the land to see if they could overtake it. So they sent out the spies. And do you remember how many were sent out? No, there were more than two that were sent out. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a positive report. Do you remember that? So all of a sudden, he says, "Go spy out the land," and they come back and they say, "What did you find out?" And the majority of the people were saying, we can't do it. They're too big. These people are so huge. They're going to crush us. These people are going to destroy us. They will annihilate us. But there were two people who had a different attitude within them. And it says in verse 20 that the Lord said, "I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. So shall they by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he has entered and his descendants, and they shall take possession of it." Now, what happened here was you saw attitudes played out. So, yes, 2 had a good report. There were 10 that didn't. Have you ever felt like God spoke to you, but everyone else around you is telling you something different? God said, "Don't move," but everyone else is saying you should. Or God said, don't take the job," but everyone's saying you're a fool to not take the job. And all of a sudden, you got to ask yourself a question. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to God, or are you going to listen to the people around you? The choice is always ours. That's why it's so important to have that same attitude that's found in Christ Jesus within our lives. Because if we have that same attitude, then we'll make those same choices that Christ would make. Therefore, we will be safe. We will be secure. We will be okay. 2 of them came back with a good report. And I love to watch how what I guess I would call successful people, especially those who are successful in all their aspects of life, in marriage, in business, in relationships. I love to watch it because they leave clues behind for you and for me. Did you know that? They leave clues behind for us. And so it's fun to watch as they walk and as they talk, as they greet people, as they treat their husband, as they treat their wife. Those are clues that are being left behind because they're showing you how to have successful relationships or successful businesses. Because they have a different attitude within them. If you watch that, you will be able to see that. A lot of times people will, I've been guilty of this too in my life. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, man, I just wish I could have their life. I wish I could just, not that you wanted to necessarily covet, you just, what is it that they know that I don't know? What is it that they have going on that I don't quite have figured out? People are leaving clues behind, and it's the different spirit that they have within them. The most classic example in the Bible is the one that we just read in the book of Numbers, the story about 12 spies. 10 said that it would be impossible, but two of them had a different spirit within them, Caleb and Joshua. They had confidence that they could do it. And as the story goes, Moses assigned 12 men to go and check out the promised land, report back, what they saw. And God had already paved the way. God had already had the answer to this, by the way. Did you know that? Before the spies were sent out, God knew what was going to take place. God knew how big they were. God knew how small that the children of Israel felt in comparison to them. That wasn't really his question, though. He told them it was Moses who sent them out to spy the land. God had already given them the victory. And it says there in Numbers, my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. What's important here is the phrase, a different spirit. That's what makes all the difference in the world. When you have a different spirit, a different attitude, a spirit of excellence, let's say. You know, if you have a spirit that desires to excel and you're hungry to learn, you will always be growing. One of the downsides is it seems like you're always going uphill. It seems like there's always a struggle. There's always a challenge. That's why it's so tempting to plateau. That's why it's so tempting to just try to get comfortable and just stay where we're at. But we have to continue to grow. And that requires a different spirit, one that hungers after Christ. You see, he who has a different spirit has a different perspective. If you have a different spirit, you have a different attitude, a different way of seeing things. In the story, 10 of them saw it one way. They saw the impossibilities. Two people saw the possibilities. In Matthew chapter 6, and this is in your outlines if you want to follow along, it says this. It says, the eye is a lamp of the body, so that if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of life. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, did you catch this? Matthew is talking about the way that you perceive life. That's what he's talking about. It's your perspective in life. It's the set of your heart. And when your perspective in life is skewed, then it will have an adverse effect on your life, on the rest of your life. Your whole future will be tainted by the way that you perceive certain things and certain people. So you've got to have a right perspective. You've got to have a right attitude. You've got to have a right view. And the only way to do that is to have the same attitude that's found in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's things over the last week, the last month, that can just tick you off. You ever get ticked off? Yeah, me neither. And so when I don't get ticked off, when you just get tweaked, just something bugs you, do you normally gravitate towards the same spirit that Christ would have? Absolutely not. It takes work. You've got to make a conscious decision. And then you got to put some effort behind the decision you made to say, Lord, they ticked me off. They knew what they did, but what do you have to say about it? That's having a different spirit. It doesn't mean that I fully agreed. A lot of times I'll go to God and I'll say, God, do you want to kill him? Send some fire down, something like that? No. His view on it's all different. And I better line up with his view or I'm going to be the one that's in trouble. You see, it's a matter of perspective. There's a poem by Ella Wilcox. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. It talks about the currents of the ocean and how a sailor can read those winds and the currents. And they know just how to set the sails to catch the wind so that it can take them through difficult situations. And you see, it's not about the currents, really. It's not about the wind. It's about how we set our sails, or more importantly, how we set our souls. It says this, one ship drives east while another drives west with the self-same winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales that tell us the way to go. Like the winds of the sea and the ways of fate, as we voyage along through life, 'tis the set of a soul that decides its goal and not the calm or the strife. You know, in life, what happens many times is this. We feel that we have a right to blame everybody and everything else for what's going on in our lives. Well, my dad, well, my mom, well, my butcher, my baker, my candlestick maker, they all did this to me. But the reality is life is difficult. The Bible's very clear about that. Remember, in this life, you will have what? Tribulation or trials, but be of good cheer. So you know the verse, don't you? We just don't like to live it out. We like the first part, in this world, you will have tribulation and trials. And we kind of go, period. But it says, be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. When you have that perspective on life, you will realize, yes, it's difficult right now. Yes, things are hard, but he told me to be of good cheer. Why? Because it's not about the wind that blows and the storms that cause chaos in your life. It's about how you're going to set your sails according to the chaos that is currently hitting you. You know, you can use that to your advantage. You can gain God's perspective. And if you learn the lessons that God is teaching you in the midst of chaos, chances are you will get out of that chaos a lot quicker. There's two important decisions we have to make in life. One of them is this, and you can write it down in your outlines. The first and foremost decision you need to make in your life is to follow Jesus. That's the most important one. Can we agree on that? Yes. Okay, good. You see, it's the set of your soul that will determine the outcome of your future. So your decision to follow Jesus will affect your eternity and my eternity. And that is the most important decision to make ever in your life, whether or not to follow Jesus. But the second most important decision to make is this, the spirit or attitude with which you follow Jesus. The first decision is to follow him, but the second most important is to decide to determine what kind of spirit or attitude that you will have in which you will follow Christ. If your attitude is to follow Christ because, whew, I want to slide in safe to heaven and just make it by the skin of my teeth, that's one way. But how many of you would like to experience a little bit of heaven on earth? That means you have to start following his commands. That means you have to start saying, when God says, don't do that, you don't say, well, why? Don't you hate it when your kids did that? Why? 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 But yet we do that to God all the time. Why? Because we're his children. And he says, I want you to just simply obey because there's blessings I want to pour forth into your life. He wants to develop that attitude within us, a spirit within us, that doesn't just follow him because he needs that. It's because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of all of our praise. The decision that we make about our attitude affects our testimony that we have on this earth. If it's a positive or a negative attitude, are you going to draw people heavenward or are you going to roadblock them so they say, well, I don't want to be that kind of a person? So you see, our decision to follow Christ affects our eternity. But the spirit with which we decide to follow Jesus affects our testimony. It affects our testimony. The question herein lies, are any of us doing any good for heaven? Are we bringing anyone along with us? Is anyone in our family, our friends, our co-workers, are they being influenced by our testimony? You see, it's not your belief that influences, but it's the spirit with which you believe in that does. It's the testimony of your life. People aren't impressed that you say, I am a Christian. People are impressed when you start acting like you're a Christian and you start living out his word and you start applying those biblical truths to your home and your family and your friends and your coworkers. That's what impresses people. They say that people communicate in three ways, primarily. You communicate with your words. I mean, that's obvious. You communicate with your words. I'm talking, you're listening. You do hear what I'm saying, don't you? Okay, we have communicated. That's very good. Okay, another way that we communicate is through our body language. Through our body language. Man, I mastered this one when I was a teenager. Body language. How many of you guys, you know, were guilty of rolling your eyes? You know? We all think, and I not even rolled my eyes, I rolled my whole head. You know, I mean, I got into it. I had attitude. I think they call it swag now these days, but it's still attitude. And I remember, I have an uncle. His name's Uncle Everett. He's crazy. How many of you guys remember my Uncle Everett? He came to visit. It's been a number of years ago. Okay, this guy's got, you know, I pick on him. I give him a hard time because he's always picking on me. I think he's got one foot in an insane asylum and the other, you know, on earth here and that. I tell him that. This guy, the way he would wake me up in the mornings, he'd come in 5 a.m. I'm not a morning person. He'd walk in, boom, kick the door open. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. Oh, I'm sorry, are you sleeping? That's how he woke me up. He was crazy. He'd walk in and I had a friend with me, Brian Dierks. We were asleep, 5 a.m. If that singing didn't wake us up, what did was is he would bend down, grab our big toe, pull it up in the air, and then let go. Bam! Oh, that gets you up real quick. That's how he'd wake you up in the morning. And I love him. He's crazy. He's fun. You know, he's a little spooky at times, but that's all right. We all have them in our family, right? I remember when my grandma had passed away. I had to be 16 because I wanted the car, I think. And we were down at Snell Zornick Funeral Home sitting there. I'm 16, so forgive me for my bluntness of just my 16-year-old thoughts, but I thought, I want to go. We've been here for 3 hours. Grandma's dead. She's not getting up. Can I just go play with my friends? That's kind of what I'm thinking, you know. Give me the keys to the car. And Dad said, no, you're sticking here with the family, which was the right decision, looking back. But all my attitude, I'm like, oh. And I rolled my eyes and my head, and my uncle started to laugh out loud. Now, this is the crazy uncle. You know, do not roll your eyes in front of him because he will bring it to the attention of everybody in the funeral home. Did you just see his eyes? Man, he rolled them so far back in his head, he could see the back of his head. You know, he just started making a big scene and embarrassed me. But it taught me a lesson, too. It taught me a lesson. And he knew that. At least I hope he did. I'm giving him some benefit of the doubt here. But such an attitude, the body language I had communicated so much that was going on. And we do that with each other. But the last way that we communicate with people around us is with our spirit. It's with our attitude. And that's the one that makes the most influence in the lives of people. We can communicate with our words, but have you ever played the telephone game? You know, you pass the word down. It never ends with what you started with. You used your words. Have you ever been in a relationship, friendship, family, mom, dad, husband, wife, and you said what you wanted, but the other person heard something completely different? Miscommunication happens. Body language gives you away. You can say one thing, but your eyes and your body language will be saying another. People pick up on that. But the one that speaks even louder than that is the spirit in with which we communicate. People pick up on that whole thing. And we've got to be very careful. The most important is with your spirit in which you live. Your disposition. Your perception. Your spirit is the way that you express your faith. You can express it legalistically, poorly, selfishly, worldly, carnally. You can choose to express it any way you want. But people are watching and they see that. So we have to be very careful. That's why the Lord told Caleb and Joshua that they will enter into the promised land, but the other 10, they will not. The other 10, they were still believers. They weren't non-Christians now. They weren't banned and sent to hell for this. They just were not allowed into the promised land. Why? Because of the attitude and the spirit with which they had. Do you know there's so much that's going around us today that what is most important is truth. Number one, truth is important. If you don't have truth, don't always accept what everyone else says. You've got to have truth. But then also, you have to make sure you guard that with the right attitude, whatever that truth is. You know, things are changing around us. Whether it's a change in families, change in communities, change in churches, make sure that you're not just buying into everyone's what a perception of somebody else's. You better gain your own perception, and it better be founded in the truth of God and in His Spirit. Because that is what people will catch. It will reveal the real you. So I don't know about you. If my real me is going to be revealed, I want it to look good. Like on the first date, you want to put your best foot forward. But if we don't understand how important this is, any old attitude will do. We'll start developing whatever we want, and we'll start making choices based on what we think or feel. You know, there's a real story about a guy at Bank of America. He went to a Bank of America, and this will tell you how important attitude is. He's waiting in line, and what he would do is the routine was is he would go to the bank, he would go to the teller, she would validate his parking, he would leave. But he went up to the line, and he waited and waited and waited, and when he got up there, he got this teller that was, you know, chewing her gum and flipping her hair around and just really didn't want to be there, and he says, I'd like to take care of some business. Can you validate my parking? She said, no, we don't validate parking anymore. And he says, well, why not? Well, it's just a new policy. Next, go. And just shoot him away. And he said, listen, I've been a customer here a long time. And you've been validating my parking all this time. She says, I don't know what is your problem, mister, but you don't seem to understand. Read my lips. True story. She said that to him. Read my lips. We do not validate. Go. The man got out of line, went back to the end of the line, waited his turn. It's a good 20-minute wait. And when he got up to the teller line, she's like, you again? And he said, yes, I would like to withdraw my $4.7 million, and I'm taking it to another bank. That's how important attitude is. It can make a $4.7 transaction disappear like that. And many times what happens is we can go through difficulties like we've said already, but it's the spirit or the attitude that you have when you're going through it that makes all the difference in the world. You can go through battles and difficulties. You can go through lawsuits. You can go through medical drama and facing a bad outcome. But really what makes all the difference in the world is the attitude with which you have while you go through it. It is so important because it speaks loudly of the spirit that's within you and within I today. So what I want to do is this. I want to take some time and just address how can we build that kind of spirit, okay? How can we do that? And it's not going to take that long. The first thing is this. You have to train your eyes to look for what is good. You have to train your eyes to look for what is good. Stories told of a Japanese airline. A guy gets on the Japanese Airlines and the attendant comes out and says, thank you for flying Japanese Airlines. We're about to take off. If you need anything, please just push your button and we will be happy to assist you. Thank you very much. Such a nice attitude, such a sweet voice. They take off and they're flying through the air. About 15 minutes goes by and this guy's kind of pretty calm. All of a sudden, boom, this loud noise happens. And he looks out and doesn't know what in the world's going on, and he sees the wing just floating away, the left wing. The Japanese stewardess comes out and says, thank you for flying Japanese Airlines. If you notice, the left wing fell off, but it's okay. We're just going to fly a little bit sideways the rest of the way. Please relax, and thank you for flying Japanese Airlines. She disappears. They're flying sideways for a while, and he thinks it's kind of weird, but okay. But about another 15 minutes later, boom, and he looks out the other window, and now the right wing is floating away, and it's disappearing. And the lady comes out smiling, all proper and prim, and says, thank you for flying Japanese Airlines. If you notice, our other wing has fallen off, but that's okay, because now we can go much faster. Thank you for flying Japanese Airlines. And she disappears. The guy's now wondering, what is going on with this plane as it's bulleting towards the earth? And the ocean's down below, and it hits the water. And when the plane settles, and it's floating on the water, the lady comes out again. Her hair is a bit disheveled, and she pushes her hair back up and puts on her cap and says, thank you for flying Japanese Airlines. If you notice, we have landed. However, we've landed in the wrong place, but we have good news. There is land 5 miles to the left. So for those of you that can swim, please begin now. For those of you that can't, thank you for flying Japanese Airlines. So you see, if you have a good attitude, it's not about what happens to you. It's about your outlook on it. You know, we've gone through some difficult things in our lives, I'm sure. There's been things that we've faced and we don't know what to do. What do? You train your eyes to look for the good in life. All our lives, we're trained to see the bad. If you turn on your TV today, you're going to find 95%, probably 97, maybe even 98. It's all bad. It's all about feeding the flesh. It's all about what you want, and you've got to have it now. And it's all about buy these tools because this girl comes with it or something. Or it's all about drink this energy drink, and you know, you're going to be at your best performance. You're going to find the world just bombarding you with images and issues and topics that are all about you. It's all about the flesh. It's all about now. And we can get caught up in that. And we see all these things that have eventually bad effects upon us. Have you realized how many reality shows are on today that are spotlighting brokenness? Lesbian reality shows, homosexual reality shows, swinging reality shows. We have things that do with people that are hooked on drugs. We have reality shows on families that are swapping wives and husbands, and we're swapping kids and moving them around. And what we're doing is we're putting the spotlight on something that is not healthy. We're not seeing the things that are good. You want to have a good spirit. You have to train your eyes. It's not just naturally going to happen. Did you know that? You're just not going to gravitate towards that. You've got to make a choice. Train your eyes to see the good. Proverbs 11:27 says, he who diligently seeks good seeks favor, But he who seeks evil, guess what? Evil will come to him. Evil will come to him. Some of us are experiencing bad outcomes because we've invested in the beginning of an evil or erroneous motive. But when you seek good, you find the favor of God. Psalms 109:17 says, he also loved cursing, so it came to him. So be careful what you give yourself to, because you will soon become one with it. Caleb and Joshua, they went in and spied out the land. When they saw how big the people were, they said, we can't miss them. They're so huge that we could fire a gun 10 degrees to the left, and we're still going to hit one of them because they are so extremely large. They didn't see what they couldn't do. They trained their eyes to see what could be done. We can't miss one of these guys. God is going to move in mighty ways, and he's going to do it through people who sees what God sees. He's going to do it through people who hear what God is saying and then has the tenacity to obey his voice. That's only going to come when you train your eyes to look for what is good. Some of us are in relationships right now. I want to challenge you, if you're in difficult relationships right now, look for what is good. If you look for what is bad, you're going to find it's always there. It's always coming up. I challenge you today, look for what is good. Find one positive thing a day about your spouse and tell them. Look for what is good. If you start looking for it, you will find it. But if you sit back and wait for it, it will never come. You have to go after it. You have to train your eyes to look for what is good. Number two, if you want to have the same kind of a spirit, the second way is to believe that you can change. Now, we can say that, but doing it's another thing. Just ask anybody who's gone through change or has not. Because they don't believe they can. You've got to believe that you can go through this change. Instead of complaining about what is bad, develop an attitude of what can you do to make this thing better, whatever this thing is. Allow the new opportunity to arise and allow change to take place, whether it's in your marriage, your family, your life, your family life, your job, your church. Become a person like Joshua who believes that you can change. And it says here in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, all things are possible to him who believes. It's to him who believes that things are possible, but to the one who doubts, it becomes impossible. So even if your eyes have been trained only to see the things in life, then remember that you have to believe that you can change. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is working within you and within me to change us from glory to glory. The only person that prevents you from changing is, guess who? It's you. Only you prevent you from changing. A guy by the name of Walter Wintle writes this. He says, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but don't think you can, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out in the world we find success begins with the fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or late, the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. You see, it's about perspective. You have to believe that you can change. If you don't believe you can change, you will not change. But why change? So you can have the same attitude that's found in Christ Jesus, and not just one of self. So if you come to that place where you struggle with that, when you come up to me and tell me, but I don't know that you've been through some really tough issues, and you ask me what you should do, well, I'll answer with this, and here's the third point, never give up. I'll say, be committed, believe you can change, and then never, ever give up. Have the faith of Job. Even though all his friends, including his wife, told him to curse God and be done with it, he would never give up on God. It doesn't matter how much you blow up. The question really is, which way are your feet pointing when you come down and land? That's what makes all the difference in the world. Do you remember a guy by the name of, and I'm not going to say his last name extremely correctly, but Nick Vujicic? You know who I'm talking about. Okay. He's the man who had no arms, no legs, in a wheelchair. This guy, in the world's perspective, he's done. There's nothing he can do. He has no arms, no legs, no abilities there, but it did not stop him. He didn't quit. He never, ever gave up. He got a tenacious spirit and attitude, one that lined up with the will of Christ. Because this guy, I remember watching the video when I first saw this guy about how he was able to do so much with so little. He had so little hope, so little outcome. It was so bleak, but yet he's doing more than some of us that have all of our arms and all of our legs. I saw him when he was by water, and he just takes his little body and chucks it into the water, and I thought, he's dead. I mean, no arms, no legs, you can't swim. I've got my limbs, and I don't swim good. How is he ever going to do it? But there he went. He's swimming. Why? Because he never gave up. He believed he could change. He had a different spirit within him. Joni Erickson, you all have heard of her. Young person who dives off into a swimming pool. She was swimming and hit her head, and it affected her body to where she was paralyzed. If you've ever listened to her talk about her testimony and just time as it's passed by, she talks about how at times it's so difficult because she thinks of all the things she can't do, but then she's reminded of all the things she's able to do that others aren't doing, and they have all of their function. You see, it wasn't about, can I use my hands or can I use my feet? She had a voice that she could use, and she's used it in a mighty way. She never gave up. But some of us have been giving up way too quick. We say attitude, it seems like so little, but it makes a big difference in our life. We've got an event that's coming up, and you can have an attitude that says, oh, we got them coming again, they're going to make a mess. Or you can have an attitude that says, how can I get involved and help make a mess so we can see people come to Jesus? It really makes a difference on your perspective of this. You know, he who the Son sets free, do you remember how that goes? He's free indeed. We all want that freedom. We all want to be free indeed. We just have a hard time when it comes to surrendering our attitude to Christ and receiving His. Never give up. Never stop. When change starts to happen, never give up. That's what develops our spirit because it opens possibilities that allow hope to always be there. You know, we've got to come to a place and learn that even if you feel like you can't undo your past, guess what? You can. You can. Just reconcile that. Use it as a tool to learn from. You can either live in the past or cause it to be an instructor for your future. The choice is yours. Just keep moving forward. Know that there's something that God will lead you through. And as you process that through His Holy Spirit, He can bring healing into your life. You know, that's how our bodies were made. Did you know that? We're made to move forward. Did you know that? We're not made to move backwards. Our eyes, where are they at? They're at the front of our face, not at the back of our head. Why? Because we move forward. Our hands, our feet, they're all designed to move forward. There's only one part of the body that's facing backwards that's to help us, to remind us to crush those things of the past. And we're to leave them behind. Get it? Okay. Everything in how we're created is to look forward. It's to always be pressing on. It's to always be looking for what God is doing fresh and anew. Do we need to look in the back every once in a while to maybe adjust or correct? Yes, but don't live life, kind of like when you leave today. Please, oh please, do not drive your car while looking through the rearview mirror, okay? Because we will all end up in accidents. You've got to look through the front windshield. But why do they put rearview mirrors in cars? Because you have to reference every once in a while. You have to reference that and make sure that things are okay. But if you're going to make any momentum and go forward and have a positive direction, you better look through the front windshield. So it is in life. Never give up. Trust that God is going to bring us to that place. Because there's times that if we don't, we're going to struggle in relationships. If we're not careful, just talking and coping, it's not just about putting up and tolerating. Let Christ heal your heart. Let Him set you free. Because if you don't, it just becomes a poison. Any hurt, any pain of the past, it can become a poison in our hearts. It can become a poison in our lives. So reconcile your past, for you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Here's a funny story of a man who was on his dying bed, and he's trying to reconcile with his wife because the end is coming. So he apologizes to her for all the times he's wronged her, he's yelled at her, that he was mean to her. And she simply said, "It's okay." And he said, "How can you just sit there and calmly say it's okay after all the things that I've done to you?" She said, "It's okay." He asked, "Well then, how do you stay so calm?" She said, "Well, I clean the toilet." And he asked, "Well, how did that help?" And she says, "I used your toothbrush." So it's not just about coping, okay? It's about training your eyes to see what is good. It's about changing and never giving up. 12 went out to spy the land. 10 said it's impossible. 2 said it is possible. And they were the ones that entered the promised land. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. What you focus on, what you become one with, is what you become one with. Matthew 9:29. It shall be done according to your faith. Know this, that as you come to that place, you've got a choice to make. Attitude, it can seem very little, but it really makes a big difference in our lives. May Christ lead us and develop that attitude. Don't think that you've arrived. Don't think that, oh, he's done that for me already. Because if you ever come to a place where you say, oh, Christ has done that. I have arrived. I've been here for 5 years. You're number one on the list, okay, for needing that change. Because God is always moving. He's always fluid. He's always flexible. He's always doing something fresh and new. I don't know about you, but there's many times where all of a sudden I go, man, I think I got God figured out. But before I can finish that, he changes. He changes it all up, and there's something new that's going on. And usually it doesn't make sense to me. Usually it's not the direction I want to go, and usually it's not that much fun. And I like fun. But that's not what God asked. He didn't say, are you going to follow me if it's fun? And only if it's fun? Are you going to follow me only if you agree with the direction? But for some years of my life, yeah, that's the way I lived. Because I had an attitude. I wanted to live Jim's way. But then I had to come to a place where I had to make a decision. Am I going to do that any longer, or am I going to continue to live Christ, God's way? Let me end with this story. One day, a young lady was driving across the state with her dad, and when they saw the blackening of the clouds up ahead, there was a storm that was coming, and eventually they were right in the brink of the storm, and she asked the father, should I pull to the side of the road? And he said, no. He said, keep on driving. Well, it got darker and darker, and the rain was pelting the window, and it was getting a little bit fiercer and difficult to see, and she said, Dad, with some panic in her voice, what should I do? Should I pull over? And the dad said, no, be cautious, but keep on driving. Cars were pulling off to the side. Soon even big 18-wheelers were stopping. What should I do, Dad? She cried out, and the dad said, honey, just keep on driving. You're going to be okay. So she kept pressing on through the storm. And soon the storm decreased, and then soon enough the storm subsided, and everything was clear again. Soon after that, the sun came out. Now, honey, the dad said, pull the car over. She said, pull the car over. She said, why? And he said, I want you to turn around and I want you to look back at all the people who gave up in the midst of the storm. They're still in the storm. But because you never gave up, your storm has passed. I don't know what storm you may be going through, but I know this. Keep pressing on. Don't give up and don't quit. And don't ever settle for anything less than that same attitude that you find in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray today that you would just deposit within us that same attitude and that same spirit. Lord God, I come before you today and say, Lord, I've been guilty many times of making it about me, and for that I ask for your forgiveness. I repent of that. And Lord, we come to you as a corporate body to say, Jesus, forgive us as a church for when we've made it about us, or we've made it about our program, or we've made it about some song, or we've made it about a sermon, because Lord, it has nothing to do with that, and it has everything to do with you. So Lord, I pray for anyone that's here today that has been living life through either a rearview mirror or they've been living life through looking at somebody else. Lord, for any of us that have been looking at living life without looking at you, would you please forgive us? And Lord, we repent. We ask that you would break our hearts where it needs to be broken. Lord, where we become too comfortable, I ask that you would come and you would disrupt us in such a way, because we want more than just to settle. We want the best that you have for us. Are you here today? And you say, Pastor, that's me. God is speaking to me. I need to see that touch in my life. If that's you, and you know that you need to surrender that part of your heart to Christ, simply raise your hand and say, that's me. Father, you see their hands. You see their hearts. And Lord, what we ask for most of all as we raise our hand is to say, choose me and use me, God. Lord, break my heart where it needs to be broken. Fill me with your spirit. May I not settle in life, but may I always hunger and thirst after your righteousness. Go ahead and put your hands down a moment, and let me simply ask this. The challenges I give today are for a people who are interested in growing, deepening their walk with Christ and maturing, but maybe you're here today and you're saying, I haven't even started it. Are you here today? And you're not walking with Christ, or you've gotten away from it, you know if you have or not, and only you know if God is tugging on your heart. Is that you? And you know today you need to come back to him? Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to agree in prayer with you. God sees your hand and he sees your heart. You receive that today, and as you raise your hand, God sees your heart. And he fills you with an everlasting love, a love that you've not experienced to these depths before, because there's been things that have been blocking it. There's hurt and pain. There's barricades that you put up so that you cannot get hurt again. But he comes not to hurt you, but to heal you. He comes to show you his love. Receive that today. Is there any other hearts here? You say, Pastor, I need that touch. I need to come back to him. Wait for just a moment. I agree with you, my sister. God sees your hand and your heart. You receive that today with that love and the anointing that he pours forth in your life. Is there any other hearts here today? Thank you. Father, I thank you. And Lord, I just want to ask that your Holy Spirit would just rain down upon Church of the Open Door. Lord, I pray that you would pour your Spirit upon us and that you would move us in mighty ways that, Lord, sometimes may look disturbing, may feel disturbing, but that, Lord God, you would be shaking things up because there's something fresh and new that you want to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we ask you to insult our intelligence so that we may gain the truth. We ask in your name. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? And I do pray that God will come in a mighty way, that we not settle for just this, whatever this is, but that we may always have our arms out and up. May we always be crying out to him, because I tell you what, a lot of times the only time I cry out to God is when I'm in trouble. Oh, God, save me, help me, I'm sorry. You know, one of those. When's the last time we cried out to God to thank him, to praise him for the family we have, for the house that we have, the roof over our head? Take some time and praise him. Thank him this week and let that attitude be changed. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you can get involved with Power Team, please don't forget to sign up for Power Saturday and all that's taking place. God bless you.